Tonight's shiur, Parshas Yisro. Reason why we're giving it tonight, night earlier than we usually do, is because it's the yahrzeit of Rav Tzvi Eisner. That's all. So Rebbetzin was the one that very generously gave the money to have this base midrash for the yeshiva. And we're very grateful, and she's a constant supporter of the yeshiva. And therefore, also Hakar Satov, the Rav Lef, makes a point yearly of giving a shir le'ilui nishmasoi. And as you know, the Rav's away this year, so I figured we'll makdin the shir a night earlier to correspond with the yortzeit of Rav Eisner, Zatzal. And this shir, therefore, is dedicated le'ilui nishmasoi. Also, Yabar Lachaim Tov Mimushalom, Rav Elyashev, Shlita is not well, so the shir will also be the Refuas Rav Yosef Shalom Ben Chayim Musa. Sedra starts out, Yishma Yisro Choin Moshe, Choin Midian Chosin Moshe, Kol Asher Asal Ukim Li Moshe, Yisrael, Amok, Yosi Hashem, it's Yisrael, Mimitzrayim. Rashi says, Vayishma Yisro Mashmu Hashama Uba. What did Yisro hear that he came? Kriyas Yamsuv Melchemas Amalek. So, famous question everybody asks. L'chura, what's the Mechilta? Rashi brings the Mechilta. What's Mechilta telling us over here that Yisro came because he heard Melchemas Amalek, Kriyas Yamsuv Melchemas Amalek? The Pasuk tells us why he came. It says he came because he heard everything that Hashem did to Yisrael, took him outside of Mitzrayim, etc. So why? What's Rashi telling us over here? Name of Rav Chaim Broin, he says the following. But the Mefarshim point out that the Nisim of Mitzrayim, more than just taking Israel out of Mitzrayim, were there to take Mitzrayim out of Israel. In other words, to get us away, wean us away from our Avodah Zarah, etc., Mitzrayim, take us out of Mitzrayim, and take the Mitzrayim out of us. Fine. So, what was the purpose of Kriyas Yamsuf, which came after that? So they say, Kriyas Yamsuf, besides for us, was for the Goyim. So now the Goyim could also have their Emunah and Meshem. So it says, Shamu Amim Yirgazun, all the nations heard of Kriyas Yamsuf, they feared, etc. So the Goyim should have some Emunah in Hashem. So he says, the question is, did it help? Did it work? The great Nisim of Kriyas Yamsuf, the waters parted all over the world. Did it do its the trick? Did Goyim became great believers? No. Why? We see right after that, Yavo Amalek. Amalek came, and but what happened? What happened with Kriyas Yamsuf? So we see from here a big yisod. The Nisim are very nice, but they're very short lived. They make an impression on a person for a certain amount of time, but then it's exciting, wow, and very shortly after that, goes in the back of the person's mind and forgets it. This we see with Amalek, right after Kriyas Yamsuf, a few days later, Amarnu, finished, along comes Amalek and attacks us. And therefore, this is what Chazal were asking. Avadai, what the Pasuk tells us, is what Yisro heard, like all the Goyim heard, took us out of Mitzrayim, etc. But mashmu hashama uba. In other words, why did Yisro have to come? Wherever he was in Midian, whatever he heard, what like everybody heard, all the nisim. So he could have just said, "Good, I heard unbelievable nes. I'm a believer. Finished." Why did he have to come? Why did Yisro come? The reason why he came is because he saw kriyas yamsuf v'melchemes amalek back to back. He saw what's going on over here. Right after Kriyas Yamsuf, Mechemes Amalek, after such a great nace, how could there be how could people attack Yisro after such a big nace? So Yisro saw that, because obviously Nisim don't do the trick. What is the trick? Only Limud Torah. It's only Limud Torah that can put real emun in a person. And therefore, Mashmu Hashamu Ba, to come and learn Torah, to be with Yisro, that was the first Kriyas Yamsuf, followed by Mechemes Amalek, which showed them that Nisim themselves don't do it. Yisro gives some advice to Moshe Rabbeinu, And he tells him to choose from the whole nation, Anshei Chayil, Yiri Elokim, Anshei Emes, Sonei Betza, people that despise money, etc. There's a Maisa that was a Darshan. He used to go around, there would be Megidim, Darshanim, he used to go from town to town and give drashas. And then after the drasha, they would, you know, put their, perhaps, hat upside down and pass it around, and, you know, throw some money in. And that's how they made their living, going from place to place, giving shmuzin. So one such darshan was going around from place to place. They came to a certain town, and they gave this a nice drasha to the people, and but they didn't come through. He got a few pennies. He was very disappointed. What's going on here? So he decided, while he was in town, to pay a visit to the Maradasra, you know, the Rebbe. So he goes to the Rebbe, and he sees that the people are coming into him and giving him these nice pidyonas, nice amount of money. So he goes into the Rebbe. He says, "I don't understand. I give this nice drasha, and people give me pennies. And you don't give any drasha. You're sitting there, and they're coming in. They're handing you all this money. Well, what's going on?" He says, "I'll tell you the difference." He says, "With me," he says, I hate money. I don't. Money's not chashuv to me. Right? Sone betza. So as a result, since that I don't, money's not important to me. So I give that feeling to my people, my call as well. So when they come into me, they feel I don't like money. So they also don't like money. They take my money." He says, "But you love money. So Mela, when you're giving your drasha, you're portraying, oh, money." So that's what they feel when you're giving the drasha. Oh, like money. So they also like their money. They want to keep their money. The Michilta, he said, Sone Betza. Michilta says, what's Sone Betza? Shesone Mamonatsum Bedin Becholshekin Mamonacherim. That they even dislike their own money in din and Kolshekin money of others. So Maisa, it's Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld. That he was a Rosh Kolo. This Kolo was called Shomrei HaChomos, the old city. And they had a takana that anybody in the Kolo that would marry off his child, they would get a certain stipend of 10 Napoleon Zahav, which was a chashev amount of money, which would take care of most of the expenses for the wedding. So, as it happened, he himself has one of his sons, Yaakov Meir, was also became a chassan. So, of course, if all the Avreichim, you know, would be zoicha to have this the money, so of course the Rosh Kolo, Kol Shekin. But for some reason, the Gabbai, who was in charge of distributing the money, whenever, you know, someone got engaged and they give the money to the parents, somehow the Gabbai just slipped his mind. He slipped his mind. He didn't give Rav Yosef Chaim the money for his son's chasana. So, okay, he forgot. So, Rav Yosef Chaim didn't want to say anything. And he waited a day or 2 days, a week. Nothing. Mamesh totally forgot it. But again, he didn't want to say anything. He was getting closer and closer to the chasana. And he didn't have the wherewithal. He didn't like to take handouts. But when it came to marrying off his kid, he had no other choice. So he started taking some loans to pay off the wedding. Okay, took a loan here, a loan there, whatever. Actually, was able to put it together. So he was approaching the wedding. Wedding was on a Friday, as they used to have in those days. And excuse me, the Friday, the Shabbos before, is the Ofruf. And just so Rav Yosef Chaim shouldn't show that he had anything against this Gabbai, he told the Gabbai in Shul to give him an aliyah on the Ofruf. So he shouldn't feel anything against him. You know, it's fine, he had an aliyah still, but hadn't put anything together. Finally, Friday rolls around, the day of the Chasana, Friday morning. All of a sudden, the Gabbai wakes up and he says, "Wait a minute, I didn't give Rav Yosef Chaim the money for this." Oh, I can't believe it. How could I forgot? He couldn't believe it. So he quickly sent somebody, he goes, "Here, take the money, run to Rav Yosef Chaim's house, and give him the money that's coming to him, you know, for the... And please, apologize in my name, I feel terrible." He goes, "Fine." So he quickly goes to Rav Yosef Chaim's house, he knocks on the door, he says, "Rebbe, here, big apologies from the Gabbai, he forgot about the money, he was coming to you, here it is," he hands it to him. Yosef Chaim says, "No, I can't take it." He says, "The money is not shaykh to me, I can't take the money." He said, what? Well, of course it is, right? That's the takana. Everybody in the kol, sure, the rosh kol marries off his kid, you get the money. What do you mean it's not shayach? He said, no, no. He says, the money, what's the only money earmarked for? It's earmarked to cover the expenses of the wedding. So that you can, you know, cover the expenses of the wedding. He says, but obviously, today's the day of the wedding. My expense, I already took care of it. Right? They're getting married this afternoon. Obviously, the expenses are taken care of. You'll tell me, yeah, but you had to take loans and stuff. You owe the money for it. He says, fine, but the money was earmarked to pay for expenses of the wedding, not to pay off loans for the wedding. And since I already borrowed the money, so I can't use it to take off loans. So he wouldn't accept the money. It's called the Sony Betza. Wait, Pasuk says, Shem told Moshe Rabbeinu, V'aseh al kanfei nesharim v'aviyeschem elai. Put you on the wings of eagles and bring you to me. So that's very interesting. Yonasan ben Uziel over here says a phenomenal thing. Says that when it came time of the Yetzias Mitzrayim, you know, Leil Yetzias Mitzrayim, they Klal Yisrael went to the Korban Pesach, you know, before they left. So says the Tana of Yonasan ben Uziel that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took Am Yisrael on clouds and flew them to Yerushalayim, where at the Makom HaMikdash they shechted the Korban Pesach, and then he brought them back to Mitzrayim. Phenomenal Yonasan ben Uziel. So Rav Nassim Gestetner says, with this we can answer a steer in the psukim. How so? It says in Parshas Bo that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, commanded him, that Klal Yisrael is supposed to take the blood of the Korban Pesach, v'lachu min adam, v'nasnu al shtei ha-mezuzos v'al ha-mashkof. They have to put it on the doorpost and on the top, the lintel, I think it's called, whatever, the top post of the door. Fine. But then, when Moshe told Yisrael to actually do it, he changed around the Seder. There he says, v'gatem el ha-mashkof, first you go to the top part, the lintel, and then you go to the doorpost. He's changed the order. The Kodesh Baruch Hu told him. Why? So he says, according to this, Rabbi Yonos Ben Uziel is very nice. That Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu the regular, okay, go do the, to put the blood on the doorpost. Why the doorpost first? Because that's the first thing you hit. An Ein Ma'avirin Ala Mitzvah. So you come to the doorpost, you put the blood on the doorpost, and then you can go up to the top. However, Lamaisa would happen. HaKadosh Baruch Hu flew them to Yerushalayim to shech the Korban Pesach. So then when they came back to put the blood on the doorpost. So how did they come? They came from their flying carpet, you know, from the flying, they came down. So when they were coming down to back to Mitzrayim, what did they hit first from the clouds as they were landing? The top of the door. Mela, that was the first thing that they hit. Therefore, first they had to do the lintel and then afterwards the doorpost. Okay. And a few things from Matan Torah. Okay. The Pasuk not in this week's Sedra says, Vayomar Hashem Misinai Bav Ezarach Misir Lamo Samar Vayonas Yochanan Milamed She Ichzira Kodesh Baruch Hu Al Kolum Av Alashem Velo Kiblu Ad Sheba Yisrael Yisrael Vekiblu. Right? Famous Chazal that Kodesh Baruch Hu offered the Torah to all the nations. They didn't want it, didn't accept it until they came to Klal Yisrael and they accepted. So it's a very interesting gra. He says, what's pshat? How could it be that what there wasn't one goy that said, yeah, you know, it sounds good, I want it. I'd like the Torah. No, there wasn't one goy that wanted the Torah. And what about Yisrael? There wasn't one yid that said, no, I'm not interested. Every single yid said, yeah, no, I want it. Nobody. So he said, no. He says, there were some goyim that wanted it, and some yidin that were not interested. So, what happened? Later on in history, throughout generations, we have what we call Gerim, Geri Tzedek, right? Goyim that converted and became Jewish, came into the fold. And unfortunately, Rachman al-Slan, there's Yidin that are Mashmin, and they go off the Mishtamed, they go off the Derech, and they convert or whatever. So we have both. So the Gra says, the source of both these groups are at Har Sinai. In other words, those goyim that at Har Sinai really wanted to, did want the Torah, those few goyim, It was their neshama that later in future generations were the geirim. They're the geirim in each generation. And those going to yes, they did want the Torah at Har Sinai. And those Jews that didn't want the Torah at Har Sinai, those are those that are mishtamed in the generations to follow. And based on this, the Chida says, it explains the Taitch in the Lashon of Chazal. Whenever we talk about a gerim in Chazal in the Gemara, we have, for example, the famous Maimer, ger shenisgayer kakan shenola dami. A very funny Lashon. Why? Why does it say a ger that's nisgayer? What should it say? A convert doesn't convert. He's already converted. Should say, goy shenisgayer is kakan shenola dami. A goy that converts is like a baby. Why is it a ger that is nisgayer? So according to this, very nice. Because this goy was really not, he was really a ger, because he was, neshama was the one that accepted the Torah, and really wanted to accept the Torah back in Har Sinai. So he was already from Har Sinai, the ger. So he's really a ger that now is coming to Mimiskayer, ger shenisgayer. It says in the Pasuk Var Sinai Ashan Kulov, etc., Hahar, was the Yechrad, etc. Says the Gemara in Brachas that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Kafa Leim Har Kegigis. Right? He took the mountain, he turned it over the Klal Yisrael like a barrel, and he says, Im atem mekalim es haTorah muta. If you accept the Torah, very nice. Vim lav, if not, Sham teit kfuraskim. Over there, you're going to find your burial. So Tosas asked the famous question that why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to Kafa Leim Har Kegigis and say you have to accept the Torah? They already said Nasev and Nishma. Many answers to this question. The Midrash Tanskuma and Noach, Parshas Noach, says that they said Nasev and Nishma on the written Torah Shebichtav. But the Torah Shebal Peh, that was too much for them. All the drushes and kalvachomers and hekeshim, and that was so too much for them that they said they're not accepting. So therefore, Kodesh Baruch Hu had to kafalem har kegigis to accept the Torah Shebal Peh. That's the Midrash Tanchum. So, Tchiyas HaMeisim, okay, is not written beferish in the Torah. It's learned out by drashas. However, Chazal say, Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Tzadi, that whoever does not believe in Tchiyas HaMeisim is not going to be zochet at Tchiyas HaMeisim. If you don't believe in it, you don't get it. So Mele says, Rav Reuven Katz, that's all, that the Kodesh Baruch Hu, therefore, kafaleim har kegigis, why? To accept the Torah Shebal Peh. He said, look, you have to accept the Torah Shebal Peh. Now, let's say you don't accept the Torah Shebal Peh. Well, if you only have the Torah Shebichtav, well, it doesn't say anything there about Tchiyas HaMeisim. You need the Torah Shebal Peh. And if you don't have the Torah Shebal Peh, you don't have Tchiyas HaMeisim. If you don't believe in Tchiyas HaMeisim, you don't get Tchiyas HaMeisim. So therefore, you have to kafalim har kegigis to accept the oral Torah, which therefore they could learn out Tchiyas HaMeisim, and therefore believe in Tchiyas HaMeisim and get Tchiyas HaMeisim. Therefore, said Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's kafalim har kegigis, and he said, if you accept the Torah, good. In other words, the Torah Shebal Peh, which I'm forcing you, then good. But if not, then sham tiyek furaschem. Then there's going to be your burial, and that's it. No more Tchiyas HaMeisim. Sham tiyek furaschem, be buried, and that's the end of you. Because if you don't have the Ora Torah, you don't have the drashas, you don't have Tchiyas HaMeisim, you don't believe Tchiyas HaMeisim, you don't get Tchiyas HaMeisim. The Gemara in Sota says, a Talmud Chacham, Tzarich Shiebo, he has to have a little bit of gaiva. How much? Echad mishmona b'shminis. He has to have an eighth of an eighth of gaiva. So, make a quick cheshbon, what's an eighth of an eighth? A 64th. So you have to have a 64th of gaiva, a little bit of gaiva. Now, where does this cheshbon come from? Says the Kilas Yitzchak. The Gemara says in Sota, Amar Rabbi Yosef, La'olam yilmad adam midas kono. Person should learn from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So a Kodesh Baruch Hu niya kol harim b'gvaot v'hishreya shchinato al har Sinai. A Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted to show the union of anivus, of humility. And therefore, he didn't give the Torah on all these tall mountains that all wanted, they're arguing, they want the Torah given. No, Kodesh Baruch Hu gave the Torah on a little mountain, Har Sinai. So we have to learn from Kodesh Baruch Hu that we have to be humble. So, the question is asked, also a famous question, that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to teach humility, then why didn't he give the Torah on flat land? Why a mountain or a small mountain? Forget the mountain. Just give it in a valley or whatever. Why a mountain? Also different answers. But according to what we said, it's very nice that the Torah, you have to have a little bit of gaiva. And therefore, to show there has to be a little of gaiva, Shem didn't give it on flat land. He gave it on a mountain, but a little mountain. Because you have to only a little bit of gaiva. A little bit of gaiva. Fine. Now, question is, where does the Cheshbon go come from, this 164th of Gaiva? Why 164th? So he says the following. The tallest mountain was Har Tavor. How high is Har Tavor? The Gemara said in Baba Basra, Ayin Gimel, it was four parsas high. How high is four parsas? A parsa is four meal, and four parsas, therefore 16 meal, and it was how many amas? A meal is 2,000 amas. So therefore, four parsas is 32,000 amas. Okay, so Har Tavor, the highest mountain, was 32,000. Now, how high was Har Sinai? There's no direct source of how high actually Har Sinai is, but there is a Midrash Yalkut Ruveni that says that it was Har HaMoria, right, where Kesi Yitzchak was, Har Moria, when it came time to give it a Torah, uprooted itself, and the Torah was Har Sinai became, Har Amir became Har Sinai. So we do have a source how high Har Moria is, and that is that Tosfos in Tainis says that Har Moria was 500 amas. So the tallest mountain was Har Tavor, was 32,000 amas. Har Sinai was 500 amas. So if you divide 32,000 by 500, what do you get? 64. So Har Sinai was 164th of Har Tavor, Mele. Here we learn that you have to have a little bit of gaiva. And how much little bit of gaiva? 164th. The first two Dibras, we have Anochi Hashem Lokecha, and then Lo Yelecha Elohim Acherim. So there's Hashem says that you have to believe in me, and Lo yelecha elohim acherim. Believe in me and nobody else. There's this maysa that the Sabbah min Avardach used to say. It was once a Yid who lived in a village, very, very poor. And he heard that in Frankfurt lives Rothschild, and wealthy guy. And he said, you know, maybe I can get something from him. So he didn't have any money to take any sort of transportation, so he went by foot and traveled to Frankfurt to maybe see if he can, you know, get something out of Rothschild. So he's schlepping there, and he had no food, no place to sleep. And then by the time he got there, he was finished. He goes to the house of Rothschild, he knocks on the door, and he collapses. Right there, he didn't have no more koach. So they open the door, this guy lying there, they, you know, bring him to, whatever. And finally, you know, Rothschild says, you know, what can I do for you? He says, you know, I came from this village, I have nothing, and please, can you help me some? So he says, no problem. And he first, you know, gives him something to eat, drink, whatever, nice suda. And then he gives him a nice chashuv amount of money. So he thanks him very much, and he makes his way back. So people in the village heard what happened. So another guy, he says, well, work for him, work for me also. So he says, I can also try my luck, go to Rothschild. So he's going on the way, and he figures, you know, hey, you know, I'm on the way, I might as well chaperai, you know. So yes, he's going from place to place, he's knocking on doors and getting some handouts on the way as well. You know, why not? I'm going anyways. So he's knocking here, getting some monies, whatever. And then he gets to Rothschild and knocks on the door. Yeah, can I have some money, poor man? Da, da, da. Rothschild, sure, no problem, opens up his wallet and he gives him a few shekels, whatever it is, whatever the currency was, a few francs, you know. Anyway, so he's like, that's it? He says, what do you mean? He says, well, my friend, you know, is just here and you gave him a chashuv amount of money. How come you're just giving me this nothing? So he says, I'll tell you why. He says, your friend, when he came to me, he came to me. He didn't go to anybody else. Right, he didn't knock on other doors and on the way and that. He came, he put his full trust in me, so I came towards him, gave him. However, you're knocking here, knocking there, on the way, whatever, and then you also come to me, so fine, I'm just, you know, on your list over there, so I'll give a little bit and I'll mishtatef, you know, with everybody else and give a little bit. He said, that's the difference between you and your friend. So So he used to say, that's what Kodesh Baruch Hu's saying over here. I'm your God, nobody else, just me. You put your bitachon totally in me, I'll come through. But it's only me, just me. Okay. Says Zachoras Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho. A little thing from Shabbos. There's a minhag that some people have to buy flowers for Shabbos. And so where does this minhag come from? So one idea, they say, is the makor is the Gemara in Shabbos, which you're familiar with. With Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says when he came out of the cave with his son, Rabbi Elazar, so it says he came out of the cave, was Erev Shabbos, and they saw a man running with two hadassim, two myrtles, branches in his hand. So they said, hey, what is that for? So he says, Lichvat Shabbos. So he says, okay, Lichvat Shabbos, but why do you need two? So he says, one for Shamor and one for Zachor. So they say that here's your makor for Shabbos to have some flowers for Shabbos. Reminds me of a joke. This guy walks into a flower shop and there's a nice display of roses. And there's a sign, you know, over the roses, it says, say it with flowers. So the guy says, very nice, whatever. He goes up and he picks up one rose and he gives it to the guy. He says, wrap it up for my wife. She says, one rose? That's all? You know, we saw here at least Shamar Vazachar, you know what I mean? Like, one rose? Like, why is this one? She says, I'm a man of few words. Okay. It says, Kabbalah Savicha Vesimecha, Svik Sedra. The Yushalmi says at the end of Sanhedrin, interesting, says, why is it that when Rahman Sanek, as a parent dies, person does kriya, and certain kriyas that you do for other relatives can be misacha. It means you can sew it up after. You do the kriya, but then you can sew it up. But the kriya for parent, you can't sew up. What's the idea? So the Otsiyadiyas brings that since the when a parent dies, what happens? He loses the mitzvah of kibud av v'aim. Here's a mitzvah he could do until now, and now he can't do the mitzvah anymore. So this is a mitzvah that is gone. It's lost. It's gone forever. So Mela, as a remnant to this, here is a kriya. It's like ripping. It's like the mitzvah is ripped and can never be sewed up and can't be fixed again, because here's a mitzvah that's lost forever. The mitzvah of kibud av v'aim. Okay, let's take that conclude since we're Erev Tu B'Shvat, and speaking of Kibud Av V'Aim, as we'll see, it's a nice word from the Satmar Rebbe. It makes an interesting observation. Tu B'Shvat, we celebrate what? It's the Rosh Hashanah Le'ilanos, right? The New Year's for the trees. So how do we celebrate it? What do we do? What do we do? We eat fruit. Right, dried fruit. Eat fruit. Celebrate the Rosh Hashanah for the trees. Now, Shavuos, on the other hand, is what? It's the Yom HaDin for Peres HaIlan, for fruit. What do we do on Shavuos? We bring trees into the Beis Medrash, whatever. Not these days we don't do that, but at least the flowers, whatever. You mean like the? So he said, isn't it backwards? Right, the Rosh Tu B'Shvat which is the Rosh Hashanah for Ilanos, we should bring the trees in, and Shavuos, which is the din of the fruit, that's when we should eat fruit. We should dry fruit on Shavuos. What's going on? Why is it backwards? So says the Satmar Rebbe, it's not backwards. You have to understand that Tu B'Shvat, let's say, is the Rosh Hashanah for Ilanos. Now, what's Ilanos? Ilanos represent. The tree represents the parents. The fruit represents the children. So therefore, on Rosh Hashanah, the trees, in other words, where the parents are judged. So how do you judge a parent? You judge a parent by the fruit, the children. Let's see what they do with their children. That's how you can tell if it's a good parent. Let's see what they did. Did they mechanic their kids properly? Do what they're supposed to be doing? And therefore, on Tu B'Shvat, which is the Rosh Hashanah for Ilanos, we're judging, so to speak, the parents. How do you do that? We eat fruit to remind us that you look at the fruit to see if it's a good tree or not. He was a good parent. Whereas on Shavuos, it's the opposite. There, we're getting, who's being judged? The fruit. The fruit. The fruit is the children. So to see if he's a good kid, how do you judge to see if he's a good kid? To see if he, how he takes care of the parent, how he takes care of the trees, right? Was he mechaber his parents properly? Mela, on Shavuos, we bring in the trees, because that's what we look at to see if he's a good kid, he's a good fruit. You have to see that he is, did he take care of his tree, did he take care of his parents? So at Hashem, we should be zochet to be also good parents and good children, and in that schus, we should be zoicha kulanu to see the great nisim ki meitzeschem eretz yisraim erenu niflos bevias kol tzedek bimhira bimeinu.